Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. One thing my dad taught me growing up was the difference between smoke and steam. As we drove through the industrial Midwest, I would see a huge stack. My dad said, if the smoke continues to rise and is carried off into the wind, it is smoke. But if it vanishes immediately, it is steam. This is the wisdom of Solomon and his refrain, his repeated image, vanity of vanities. Vanity refers to that steam that rises from a boiling pot only to vanish as quickly as it appears. I remember each of my grandmothers talking about the family and us growing up and how quickly time flies by, even more quickly over the years as we get older. Vanity of vanities. I think as we experience life more and more, we realize just how brief and fleeting life can be and how fragile and precious it is. Like the Hebrew phrase, holy of holies, referring to the holiest place of the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was and where that Day of Atonement sacrifice was made yearly, so Solomon talks about the vanity of vanities, the most futile and most meaningless place we can be. This is when our lives become a mere pursuit of material things. When we amass wealth like the fool in Jesus' parable. When we suffer hardship and anxiety because we never feel like we have realized our dreams and our goals. Vanity of vanities. Solomon says, at one time, he gave up himself over to despair. This coming from the one who Scripture says was the wealthiest and the wisest of biblical history. Solomon, in this vulnerable moment, reminds us that our struggle is a universal one. And he names that struggle. Our days are full of pain. Work is a vexation. And even at nights, our minds cannot rest. It may be good for us, some of us, to hear. Work can be a pain, emotionally and physically. It can create and perpetuate anxiety. And we can take that suffering home to us, so much so that we are kept up at night because we cannot surrender the worry, the cares, the confusion, and the pain our lives have. This is no way to live, Solomon tells us. Solomon, out of his wisdom and his compassion for us, is our life coach. He warns us, as the Greek philosopher Socrates does, that the unexamined life is not worth living. It is a courageous thing to step back and to look at our own lives individually and do a self-assessment, to search the archives of our souls. And what will we find? Both Solomon and Jesus say that we will find vanity of vanities, chasing after the wind. That we are all at risk of putting our hope in material things and not in God. We find our lives can be like that water vapor rising quickly only to vanish into nothingness. few meaningful goals in life. We have not set up the next generation for success. We've only invested in ourselves, our striving, our working, our ambition are often like the ridiculousness of chasing after the wind, Solomon says. Have you ever watched a dog or a cat chase its tail? It's amusing. It's even a little adorable. But it is a futility. Like chasing after wind, God wants us to let go of the pain. He wants us to let go and surrender the worry and the restlessness and the chasing after the wind. Surrender it all as Jesus did on the cross when he prayed, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." As Luther told us to pray morning and evening, "Into your hands I commend myself, my body, my soul, and all things." There's a pastor that I've known for many years that I have to kind of grit my teeth a little bit when I ask him how he is doing, because he always answers the same way: better than I deserve. It's aggravating, but it's also a good reminder of the wisdom of Solomon that everything that we have is a gift, undeserved. So Solomon writes, "There is nothing better for mortals than to eat and to drink and find enjoyment in their toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or find enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy." God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. He's the creator of all things. He made the world and all who dwell therein. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. All things were made through him. And without him, apart from him, was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of people. Everything we are, every person we relate to, everything we hold on to and we're blessed by, they are gifts from the hand of Almighty God. Apart from him, we possess nothing. Apart from him, we are nothing. As Job said about his life, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return." Are you annoyed by airlines that don't let you take luggage without a price or carry-on without price? God will not even allow one carry-on as we take that flight from this world to the next. Everything we enjoy is not ours. It is on loan. We are stewards of everything we possess. We're not owners. There is one thing we will continue in the life of the world to come, and that is to build relationships with God and one another. We will continue to enjoy God's recreation. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. For all eternity, we will always be reminded that it is God's gracious gift. The sooner we live our lives as if they are on loan, the sooner we enjoy the things of this world as from God's hand, the sooner we are the wiser. And with that wisdom and knowledge comes joy that no one can take away. Joy cannot be taken away because of the greatest of those gifts from God. his eternal Son, who conquered all the things that threatened to take away meaningfulness, purposefulness, and joyful living. Jesus has given us the victory over evil, our sin, and even death itself. And through him, we have two other things that no one can take away: forgiveness and eternal life. And that only makes our joy all the more full. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.